This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the Recover Method Helps Mediators Repair a Session That Goes Wrong. 7 steps that give mediators a clear path when a session breaks down. In short, a mediation session breaking down is not the end of the process. It is a moment that calls for structure, not improvisation. The Recover Method gives mediators a 7-step framework to diagnose and repair a session in real time. Each step addresses a specific failure point: escalation, lost trust, procedural collapse, or damaged rapport. Applied with skill, this method can turn a fractured session into a turning point rather than a dead end. Definition: mediation skills repair refers to the deliberate techniques a mediator uses to recover a structured dispute resolution session after it has broken down, restoring safety, trust, and productive dialogue through a clear, sequential process rather than improvised reaction. You walk into the room prepared. You have done the groundwork, spoken to both parties separately, and set the ground rules clearly. Then, 40 minutes in, one party stands up and starts raising their voice. The other shuts down completely. The agreement you were building collapses in real time, and the room goes cold. This is where most mediators feel the ground shift beneath them. Without a clear recovery framework, the instinct is to keep pushing forward, hoping the momentum returns. It rarely does. What works is structure. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the Recover Method as a 7-step recovery framework for conversations that go wrong. Developed and refined over decades of high-stakes mediation work, it gives practitioners a clear path when pressure has stripped everything else away. This article walks through each step in full, including how to apply it in the room. Why mediation sessions break down in the first place. Understanding failure is the first act of repair. Mediation sessions do not usually collapse because of a single dramatic event. They unravel gradually, through a series of smaller failures that go unaddressed. The most common breakdown is emotional escalation that outpaces the mediator's response. One party says something that lands as a personal attack, the other reacts, and the conversation shifts from the issue to the people. A second pattern is a trust breach. One party feels the mediator has shown bias, consciously or not, and withdraws their cooperation. A third is procedural drift, where the session loses its structure and becomes a free-for-all argument rather than a guided process. All of these share one feature: they require the mediator to stop, diagnose, and act with precision. The Recover Method, as outlined in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, is built for exactly this moment. Knowing how to handle conflict during meetings is valuable, but a mediator needs tools that go further when the process itself is at risk. The Recover Method. All 7 steps. Step 1. Recognize what went wrong. What it is. The diagnostic step. Before doing anything else, the mediator must correctly identify the type of breakdown. What it is designed for. Preventing the wrong intervention. Applying a de-escalation approach to a trust breach or a trust repair approach to a factual dispute will make things worse. Accurate diagnosis is the foundation of every subsequent step. How it works. Number 1. Pause internally. Do not react visibly. Give yourself 3 to 5 seconds to observe what is actually happening in the room. Number 2. Categorize the breakdown. Is this emotional escalation? A trust breach with one or both parties? A procedural collapse? Or a factual dispute that has become personal? Number 3. Name it to yourself clearly before speaking. This is emotional escalation. One party feels unheard and is reacting. When to use it. The moment you sense the session losing its footing, before the situation becomes harder to manage, when not to use it. Do not use this step as a reason to delay action. Recognition is a matter of seconds, not minutes. Quick example. A party interrupts the other 3 times in a row and begins speaking over the mediator. You recognize this as escalation driven by feeling dismissed, not hostility for its own sake. Here is the truth of it: most recovery errors happen at this step. People skip diagnosis and go straight to intervention. The wrong medicine, however well-intentioned, can turn a manageable situation into an irreparable one. Step 2. End the session if needed. What it is. The decision to stop the joint session entirely and move to individual conversations or adjourn altogether. What it is designed for. Protecting the process and the parties when continuing would cause active harm. How it works. Number 1. Use a calm, neutral tone. Do not frame the ending as a consequence or a punishment. Number 2. Say something direct. I think we will be better served by taking a break right now. I would like to speak with each of you separately before we continue. Number 3. Set a clear time frame. Open-ended breaks create anxiety. Let us reconvene in 30 minutes gives people a container. When to use it? When one or both parties are no longer capable of productive dialogue, when a boundary is being repeatedly crossed, or when you have lost control of the procedural frame entirely. When not to use it? Do not end a session at the first sign of tension. Discomfort is part of the mediation process. End when continuing would damage trust beyond repair. Quick example. One party begins making personal accusations rather than addressing the issue. You call the break before the other party responds in kind, preserving their dignity and your neutrality. I have ended sessions that later became the most productive mediations I was part of. Stopping at the right moment is not failure. It is skill. Step 3. C. Cool down. What it is? The deliberate period of emotional regulation for the parties and for the mediator. What it is designed for? Restoring the physiological and psychological capacity for rational dialogue. You cannot negotiate with someone whose system is flooded with cortisol, and you cannot mediate effectively when you're carrying unresolved tension yourself. How it works. Number 1. Separate the parties physically if possible. Shared waiting spaces keep the heat alive. Number 2. Do not fill the silence with reassurance or problem solving. Let the space do its work. Number 3. Reflect on your own state. What did that exchange trigger in you? Where did you feel reactive? Honest self-inventory here improves every subsequent step. When to use it? Always, following an ending. Even a 10-minute break changes the chemistry of the room. When not to use it? Do not use the cooling period to draft solutions or make premature judgments about either party's position. This step is for regulation, not strategy. Quick example. You spend the break walking a short distance and breathing deliberately. When you return to meet each party separately, you are present and neutral, not still carrying the tension of the breakdown. Anger feeds on anger. When you refuse to provide fuel, the fire eventually burns out. That line from Say It Right Every Time has stayed with me through more mediations than I can count. The cooling step is how you stop providing fuel. Step 4. Own your mistakes. What it is? The mediator's honest acknowledgement of any procedural or interpersonal error they made during the session. What it is designed for? Restoring trust. Parties who've watched a mediator miss a bias, lose their neutral footing, or fail to enforce the ground rules need to see that acknowledged before they will re-engage. How it works. Number 1. Meet with each party individually during the caucus. Number 2. Identify specifically what you got wrong. I allowed the conversation to run too long without intervening. I should have stepped in sooner. Number 3. Do not over-apologize or undermine your own authority. Own it cleanly and move forward. When to use it? Whenever you can identify a genuine error. Parties are perceptive. They know when something went wrong, and they respect a mediator who acknowledges it, when not to use it. Do not manufacture ownership of errors you did not make simply to pacify a difficult party. False accountability destroys credibility. Quick example. You realize you allowed one party to speak for significantly longer in the first round, creating an imbalance. You name it. I did not manage the time equally in the first session, and I want you to know I'm aware of that. A real apology requires acknowledgement, recognition of impact, and commitment to change. This step is not about self-flagellation. It is about clearing the air so the work can continue. Step 5. Validate the experience. What it is? Demonstrating to each party that their emotional experience of the breakdown is understood and acknowledged, without taking sides on the substance. What it is designed for? Rebuilding the psychological safety that makes honest dialogue possible. You can learn more about the specific skills involved in resolving interpersonal tension through empathy. How it works. Number 1. Reflect back what you observed. This has clearly been a frustrating and difficult conversation for you. Number 2. Separate the feeling from the facts. I understand you felt unheard. We are going to address that directly. Number 3. Resist the urge to minimize. I know it feels that way, but raises validation in a single word. When to use it? With both parties, individually, before any attempt to re-engage joint dialogue. When not to use it? Validation is not agreement. Do not validate a party's interpretation of events or their factual claims. Validate only their emotional experience. Quick example. A party tells you they felt ambushed by the other's opening statement. You say, I can see that caught you off guard, and I understand why that felt unfair. Let us talk about how we move forward from here. People who feel heard rarely explode. People who feel powerless often do. Validation is not soft. It is strategic. Step 6. E. Explain your intent. What it is. A clear, honest explanation of the mediator's role, purpose, and the plan for re-engaging the session. What it is designed for. Resetting the procedural frame and giving both parties a reason to trust the process again. This is especially important when the breakdown involved perceptions of mediator bias. How it works. Number 1. Restate your role plainly. My job is not to decide who is right. My job is to create a space where both of you can be heard and work toward a resolution you both own. Number 2. Explain what will be different in the next phase. When we reconvene, I will manage the time more carefully and I will intervene sooner if the conversation starts to escalate. Number 3. Invite questions. Transparency earns trust. When to use it. After validation. Before proposing a return to joint dialogue. When not to use it. Do not use this step to lecture or over-explain. One clear, direct statement of intent is more powerful than 3 minutes of reassurance. Quick example. You meet with both parties separately and say, here is my intent for the next session. I'm going to propose we start with the one issue where I believe you both have the most common ground. Once we establish that, the harder issues tend to become more manageable. Manipulation thrives in confusion. It dies in clarity. Explaining your intent as a mediator removes the ambiguity that allows suspicion and mistrust to grow. Step 7. R. Recommit to the relationship and process. What it is. A joint declaration, facilitated by the mediator, that both parties are willing to continue. What it is designed for. Marking a clear psychological turning point. The session that follows a recommitment is different from the session before the breakdown. The breakdown itself can become the foundation for a more honest dialogue if the recommitment is genuine. How it works. Number 1. Bring both parties back together and briefly acknowledge the difficulty. We had a difficult hour. I want to thank you both for staying in the room. Number 2. Ask each party directly whether they are willing to continue. Are you ready to try again on different footing? Number 3. Re-establish the ground rules briefly before resuming. This re-anchors the procedural frame, when to use it. Only when both the cooling and validation steps have genuinely done their work. Recommitting too early collapses the gains you have made. When not to use it. If one party is still in a reactive state, do not rush to joint recommitment. A premature return to joint dialogue risks a second breakdown. This is harder to recover. Quick example. After individual caucuses, you bring both parties back and say, I would like us to begin again. More simply, one issue at a time. Are you both willing to try that? Both say yes. The session that follows is quieter, more careful, and more productive than anything that came before. Recommitment is not a formality. It is the moment both parties consciously choose the process again. That choice matters. It changes what comes next. Choosing your entry point. A guide for the room. Not every breakdown requires all 7 steps in sequence. The following table helps you identify where to enter based on what you are seeing. Situation in the room, priority steps, likely entry point. Voices raised, bodies tense. E, C, B, end the joint session first. One party withdrawing, silent. R, B, E, explain, diagnose before acting. Mediator perceived as biased. O, E, explain, or own the error privately. Process has become a free-for-all. A, E, end. E, explain, reset the procedural frame. Both parties willing but stuck. V, E, explain, R, validate, then reframe the issue. If you can accurately name what you're seeing, this table gives you a starting point. From there, the sequence becomes clearer. For team-level conflicts that have a similar pattern of breakdown and recovery, the DEAL method for resolving conflicts, fracture, and team synergy offers a complementary approach. And for situations where trust has been damaged before the mediation even begins, rebuilding trust after unresolved tension covers the groundwork you will need to lay. Where mediators go wrong during recovery. Experience teaches you what good mediation looks like. Failure teaches you what good mediation costs when you skip the hard parts. The mistake. Pushing through a breakdown without stopping. Why it happens. Mediators fear that calling a break signals loss of control. What to do instead. Recognize that a well-managed pause communicates more authority than a session spinning out of control. Stopping is the confident choice, the mistake. Skipping validation and going straight to re-engagement. Why it happens. The mediator is task-focused and wants to get back to the substance. What to do instead? A party who does not feel heard will not engage honestly with the substance. Validation is not a detour. It is the road. The mistake. Owning errors vaguely to avoid discomfort. Why it happens. Specific acknowledgement feels exposing. What to do instead? Vague apologies register as non-apologies. Name the specific thing you got wrong. It lands with far more strength than a general I'm sorry if the session went off track. A mistake. Recommitting both parties before the cooling period is complete. Why it happens. The mediator is optimistic about a shift in mood. What to do instead? Test readiness individually before bringing parties back together. Ask each person directly. Are you in a place where you can listen as well as speak? Trust the answer you get. For mediators working on building these recovery instincts alongside their wider practice, the bridge method for rebuilding synergy after a team breakdown addresses the team dimension, but often sits behind an individual mediation case. And when tension has been simmering before it reaches a formal session, using the deal method to resolve workplace tension before it escalates can reduce the likelihood of a breakdown occurring in the first place. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building real fluency with recovery over time. Knowing a framework and being able to use it under pressure are two entirely different things. As I write and say it right every time, knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. The gap between understanding the recover method and executing it in a room full of escalating emotion is closed through deliberate, repeated practice. Start by applying the recognition step in low-stakes conversations. Train yourself to pause, diagnose, and name the type of breakdown before responding. That habit alone will change your instincts in the room. Next, practice the ownership and validation steps in role-play with a trusted colleague. These are the steps most mediators avoid because they require real courage, and that courage builds through repetition, not reflection alone. The GROW method for turning feedback into improvement plans offers a useful structure for building a personal development plan around the specific steps you find hardest. Reflective practice, reviewing what happened in a session after the fact, and asking honestly where you entered the recovery sequence too late or too early, is how fluency becomes instinct. Give yourself 6 months of consistent practice with this framework. By then, these 7 steps will not feel like a checklist. They will feel like ground. The session that almost failed. I mediated a dispute between 2 senior colleagues that deteriorated badly in the 2nd hour. 1 walked out. I called a 20-minute break, met with each person individually, owned the fact that I had let the 1st hour run without a check-in, validated what each person had experienced, and explained clearly what I intended to do differently. When I brought them back together and asked whether they were willing to try again, both said yes. The resolution they reached that afternoon held. The recover method worked not because it is clever, but because it is clear. When you are standing in a room where trust has fractured, what you need is not a theory. You need a sequence you can trust. These 7 steps are that sequence. Good mediation skills repair is not about pretending the breakdown did not happen. It is about using the breakdown as the moment where something more honest becomes possible. Frequently asked questions. What is the recover method in mediation skills? The recover method is a 7-step framework for mediators whose sessions break down. It covers recognizing what went wrong, ending the session if needed, cooling down, owning mistakes, validating experience, explaining intent, and recommitting to the process. It gives structure when pressure removes clarity. How do mediators repair a session that goes off the rails? Effective mediation skills repair begins with stopping the downward spiral, not pushing through it. A mediator calls a break, acknowledges the breakdown without blame, and uses structured steps to de-escalate both parties before attempting to re-engage the substantive issues at the heart of the dispute. When should a mediator end a session early? A mediator should end a session early when emotions have overtaken the capacity for reasoned dialogue, when one party is being aggressive or manipulative, or when continuing would cause active harm to the process. Ending is not failure. It is skilled session management that protects the possibility of a future resolution. What does mediation skills repair look like in a workplace conflict? In a workplace conflict, mediation skills repair often means separating the parties into individual conversations, acknowledging that the session lost its footing, and identifying what each person needs to feel safe enough to re-engage. It is about restoring psychological safety before returning to the substance of the dispute. How do I know which recovery step to use first in a broken mediation? Start with recognition. Before any recovery is possible, the mediator must accurately identify what caused the breakdown: emotional escalation, a trust breach, a process failure, or a factual dispute spiraling into personal attack. The correct diagnosis determines which subsequent steps carry the most weight in that specific situation. Can the recover method be used for conflict outside formal mediation? Yes. While the method is built for mediators managing structured sessions, its principles apply to any facilitated conversation that breaks down, including team disputes, difficult one-on-ones, and performance conversations. Their underlying logic, stop, cool, own, validate, explain, recommit, works wherever trust has been damaged mid-conversation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.